Okay, welcome everybody to the Rust Belt Dynasty podcast. My name is Michael Bauer. Joining me tonight is Garrett Price. How are you doing, Garrett?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm great. It was a dreary day in eastern Pennsylvania, but hopefully things are better out your way.
A little bit better. We're starting to warm up. It's we're starting to get some of the flavors of spring. Not quite all the way there, but it's starting to happen.
Slow, steady progress. So for those of you who don't know us or do know us, Garrett and I are both writers for the Dynasty Nerds podcast. Well, actually for their website. That's how we met each other. But I'd like to talk to you. Garrett, how long have you been playing fantasy football? How many leagues are you in? What kind of leagues are they? What's your favorite type to play in?
So I got started with fantasy football probably about 12 years ago. I was in the early part of high school when I first started doing it. But then I did my first dynasty football league in, let's see, it would have been with a bunch of my college buddies. So this would have been about 7 years ago. So at that point, dynasty had not really become a popular thing. And so when I told people that I was in a dynasty football league, they were like, what does that mean? You mean like you keep guys? I was like, well, yeah, but not just like a player or two, like you keep your whole team. They're like, oh man, that sounds intense. That sounds like too much for me. I don't know that I'd want to do that. I'm like, no, you guys don't get it. Like it's really cool. I promise. It's a lot more like being a GM. It's great. And now it's funny. Most of those people are like, hey, how do we get into one of those dynasty leagues? Like how does that, can you help me set it up? And so it's just fun to see it becoming more popular. Currently, up until this year, I wasn't in too many leagues. But it's been cool. I've been invited to be a part of a lot of leagues lately. And so I think I'm up to 8 dynasty leagues currently. Okay. So I probably need to chill out on that a little bit, but it's been pretty fun.
I'm actually kind of in the same boat as you. I've been playing for about 13 years. So, it sounds like I'm a little bit older than you. I'm 34. I started playing around, I was 21. My dad told me basically, hey, you think you know everything. Why don't you play this fantasy football everybody's talking about? So I tried it. I loved it. I tried Dynasty for the first time, actually only about 3 years ago, but I was instantly hooked and it just took my life over. I'm in 8 leagues total. 2 of them are redraft. I'm in 5 Dynasty leagues and I'm also in 1 IDP league. So IDP only. It is intense because in about the 7th round, you have no idea who to draft anymore. It was pretty hard.
Wow, IDP only, so no offensive players.
Yeah, so that one just started. So
that's pretty hardcore.
It is. I'll let you know next year at this time how it worked out. I don't know how long I'm going to be in that one. I prefer Dynasty over everything, to be honest with you. Redraft anymore to me is just boring. Like what's the point of drafting a rookie unless you could get Saquon Barkley in a redraft league,
right?
You know, if you take a guy last year like Dante Pettis, what's he gonna do for you?
That's 100% true. Like I always enjoyed redrafting, and if you enjoy the drafting aspect, that's really the only thing that you're gonna get in redraft that's maybe slightly better, because you're gonna have a longer draft process than just, you know, taking a few rookies. But overall, I mean, after the draft itself, I mean, there's literally no parts of redraft that's better, because I mean, by week 7, 8, half the league's disinterested because their teams are garbage. And, you know, the other half of the league's trying to monopolize all of the good players. And so they're sending like all these like super lopsided deals, and, you know, it's just not fun. And then in the off season, you know, there's nothing to do. There's nothing to, you know, you're just waiting for the next season to start. Whereas, you know, in these dynasty leagues, like in almost every one of my dynasty leagues, I've made some sort of off-season trade or move already, and we're not even to the NFL draft yet. And so at that point, I just don't see the draw of a redraft versus a dynasty.
What was your best off-season move so far in any one of your leagues?
Ooh. My best offseason move so far. I would say I made a deal. I made a deal. I have a team that is in the process of rebuilding, and it's a team that's been pretty good for a while, but just could never seem to quite get over the top. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to blow it up. And so during midseason last year, I made a bunch of trades, traded a lot of my older players, Gronk, Aaron Rodgers, like a lot of those guys. Well, if we're talking midseason deals, that was definitely my best deal because I got a first rounder in this class for him. In the offseason, one of the deals that I made during the season was to acquire Amari Cooper before he blew up when he went to the Cowboys. And so obviously his value skyrocketed. So I recently made a move that would give me – I gave up Amari Cooper and I acquired the 1-7 in this draft and then his 2020 first as well. So I got two first for Amari Cooper. So, you know, obviously he has immense upside, but there's also, as we've seen, a lot of downside with Amari Cooper. So I felt like I definitely made sure that my future was safe by making – or safer by making that deal.
That I like that deal. You definitely sold him at the right time. I have to brag here. My offseason move was actually two moves.
Okay.
I sold Alex Collins for 2022nd.
Wow.
Right?
That in and of itself, like, I'm sold.
Like, 2 weeks before the whole thing went down with him getting arrested, I then flipped that pick for Dante Pettis.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I basically gave up Alex Collins to get Pettis, and I'm completely fine with that.
Oh, yeah. I think that kid everybody has a lot of upside. For sure.
So I'm excited to see you know, what he does moving forward here. So I wanted to ask you, what got you into writing fantasy football articles? I know you've written a lot of good ones. I read every one that you put out. I love your Twitter threads. So if you do not follow Garrett on Twitter, please do. We will give out his Twitter handle at the end of the show. But tell me, what got you into writing articles?
So the funny thing is this longtime dynasty league that I'm in, we're going on, I think it's our seventh year now. That we're going into, a bunch of buddies of mine from college. A lot of us like did ministry and stuff together, and a bunch like just really, really great guys. I would during the season and even some preseason, I would write these articles and it would just be like predictions or facts about the history of our league and how certain teams had performed and all this stuff. And a couple of the guys in the league, they're like, "Hey, Garrett, like, we think it's super cool that you do all of this for the league. Like, you know, we definitely enjoy seeing it, but why don't you do it for people that actually care?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I should probably do that." And so that's kind of what motivated me to be like, "Okay, you know what? If my league enjoys this, maybe other people would as well." And so that's what really kind of gave me that extra little push to be like, you know what, I'm going to look into doing this a little bit more and a little bit more on a serious level.
By the way, I loved your piece on Cooper Kupp versus the 1-1. That was you, right?
Yep. That was me.
Okay, sorry. I read so many articles every day, but I did love that piece.
No, I appreciate it. That was probably of all the pieces that I've written so far, that was one of the most hotly contested ones because I posted something on Twitter beforehand that I didn't get why so many people loved Cooper Kupp. I would, you know, and people were saying they'd rather have the 1-1-1 pick in 2019 over him. And I thought that was absurd. And so I had posted that. And although a majority of the people did agree with me, the ones that did not agree were very, very passionate about how they did not agree with that take at all. And so that was like one of my first encounters getting like real like hate tweets and stuff like that, like just calling me a moron and all this stuff. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, like what the heck?" And so that's what prompted me to write the piece. And so and then during that process, I also did a lot more homework on, you know, what really is the value, why do we you know, look at picks in a certain way. And also I kind of talked about how, and I'm not the first one to talk about it in this way, but how draft picks are more like currency, and you have a lot of different flexibility with them as opposed to just saying, "I'm putting all my chips on a certain player." You know, you have a lot of options with your picks. And so as opposed to just hoping Cooper Kupp comes through, I get to wait until all of the draft happens and see all this stuff. And then I get a pool of guys to choose from. And so, that was kind of how that went through. But no, I appreciate it. That was an interesting one to go through for sure.
I do remember seeing you catching the flack on Twitter, and I'm like, I'm not even going to chime in here. He can handle himself. So I let you take care of yourself.
I appreciate it.
For me personally, I got to thank Rich over at Dynasty Nerds. He said on one of his podcasts, hey, we need more writers. I've always wanted to write, and I've always loved fantasy football since I started playing. So he gave me a shot. I thank him, and I just kind of went from there. But aside from Dynasty Nerds, do you write for anybody else? And what podcast do you listen to?
So I am a one-trick pony. I have really devoted everything to Dynasty Nerds a lot in the same there. Matt and Rich really were willing to give me a shot when I really had no credentials of any sort to begin with. They were like, yeah, you know, write a sample article for us and we'll let you know if you suck or not. And they're like, hey, you don't suck that bad. So yeah, you can come write for us. So
I had a different experience. I wrote one for Rich and he said, try again. So my second effort was a little bit better. And that was my first published article, but I'm sorry, go ahead, continue.
There you go. No, but they're really good dudes. So I've had a few other offers and opportunities that have been really, really appealing. But honestly, I think at this point I'm extremely, extremely loyal to Dynasty Nerds. And so I think most of my podcasting efforts and most of my writing efforts and Twitter efforts and stuff will be geared toward building up that brand, and which isn't hard to do. I mean, it's already one of the largest and most well-known Dynasty football communities. And so so for me, I am pretty much solely in that neighborhood.
Would you put them at the 1-1 of Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast?
I mean, I'm a little biased, especially now that, you know, they're like, hey, you know, you want to come on with us? So I'm definitely biased, but I would absolutely pick them 1-1 and definitely over Cooper Kupp.
Well, we'll put them 1-1. Kupp could be 1-2. We'll be 1-3.
Sounds good.
But aside from them, what other podcasts do you listen to on a weekly basis or bi-weekly or whenever you get a chance?
Sure. I mean, probably, you know, if I'm being honest, the guys that I think are really just killing it are the fantasy footballers. Now they're not as much specifically dynasty, but those guys
are
just
all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, and they're so entertaining.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're good guys. I know you were talking before a little bit about Married to the Game. Those guys do a great job as well.
And they're funny too.
They really are. They really are. So yeah, that's a good crew. I'm trying to think about what other ones. FF Statistics has some good podcasts. They got a couple different ones that they put out. I like their stuff. So yeah, I try to listen to a few of them. The one that just came out recently, what is it? Ball Blast or I think that's what it's called. Ball Blast, right?
Yeah, with Michelle and Kate.
Yeah, yeah. I listened to theirs, and it was really, really good. So that'll be one that'll be in my rotation now as well.
Yeah, I started their third episode today on my way home from work. I like what they're doing. So for me personally, I write for three sites, and not that I'm not loyal to Dynasty Nerds, but because
traitor. No, I'm just playing. Good.
They have a lot of writers, and you know, like we talked before, John Dement, who's always putting out good content. He always takes the guy I want to write about next. So I'm like, well, back to the drawing board. But so Dynasty Nerds is really putting out a lot of content. So I love to write for them. I also write for a site called AdvancedSportsLogic.com, and they do all sorts of fantasy, hockey, basketball, baseball. I'm just writing about, obviously, football, but anything you want is there. And then I write for the FF Dynasty, which is Married to the Game. They had a real big gap in writing. Like, they didn't have anybody write since September. So I was like, yeah, you know, I'll come on board and I'll hook you guys up. But they gave me a shout out in their second to last podcast. So they hooked me up too. Aside from listening to Dynasty Nerds, which is the 1-1, we've already determined that. I love the guys at the Back Row Fantasy Show. Barker, Arms, Niddle, when he's there. Lately, Neil Crabtree's been filling in, and they're just great. The FF Dynasty is good. Dynasty Blueprint is great. Love Ryan. He's awesome. The DLF Dynasty podcast and the Dynasty Happy Hour. And of course, I listen to the Ball Blast Girls. You know, all these people are just making, I think, everybody that listens to them a better Dynasty player.
For sure.
Which is what I'd love to do, too. So, but speaking of making people a better Dynasty player, is there any news that you think anybody needs to know about?
You know what? At this point, I mean, we haven't had a ton of breaking news lately. I know Jordan Howard recently was traded over to the Eagles. So I know that for some people that really moved the needle and they're like, oh, Jordan Howard. To me, I'm it's still a stay away for me. But if there's somebody in your league that is about that, absolutely trade him. Get what you can for him, because I think even if everything works out perfectly, I still think he's a committee back and is a mid RB3. So, it's a sell for me.
As an Eagles fan, I will chime in and say I agree 110%. I'm happy about the move.
I think it's good for the team.
Oh, but, yeah. But for your dynasty team, I'd say if you can't sell him for a good deal, hold him and see if they keep him or if he goes somewhere else. Maybe his value is better for you next year. That's really all the news, because, you know, it's kind of all been beaten to death at this point. Gronk retired. Jordy Nelson retired. If you've listened to any podcast, you've heard about it. Antonio Brown, OBJ, you know.
Jordy Nelson retired.
The only thing I want to touch on is I think David Gettleman needs to get his eyes checked, because he says that Eli Manning still has it. And again, as an Eagles fan, I'm glad that he says that, because he is atrocious. I'm sorry, Eli. A lot of respect for going 2-0 against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, but you got to hang it up.
No, I'm with you, man. And as a Cleveland Browns football fan, I love Gettleman. He's really supplied us with some superior talent. So, but if you're a Giants fan, I mean, this is going to be a rough time for you.
Yeah. You might want to just, maybe focus on the Rangers or the Mets or something else up there in Jersey. Yeah. So Garrett and I are going to do a rookie mock today, but before we do, I did want to ask you a question. We were talking about offseason moves and trading. What is your thought on trading? And by that, I mean, do you like to do it? Do you feel pressure to do it? When you say no to somebody, do you get a nasty response sometimes? Because I can't wrap my head around this. Like, why do people act this way? If I say no, why can't that just be it? Why does it have to be you belittle me, you tell me why I'm wrong? I made my decision. Why can't I just stick with it? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's tough. Sometimes athletics in general, and even though we're not physically competing in this, it's still a form of competition. And competition, it's talked about as a builder of character. For me, although I do think there is some truth to that, unfortunately, I think it's a revealer of character a lot of times. Okay. And so you'll see someone's true colors come out in the heat of competition. And if things don't go the way that they want them to be going, or they think they should be going, all of a sudden you see a side of that person that you wish you hadn't seen. And so it is disappointing when you get some deals like that. I usually don't, get to the point where I bar anyone where I'm like, you know what, I'm not trading with this person or anything like that. But it does get to a point where you're like, yeah, if I really want to make a deal, I'm going to offer a deal to every other owner in this league before I talk to this dude.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have that same issue. Some people but a part of the problem with trading too is value.
Yeah.
You might value a player way differently than me, and that's fine. Try to find a middle ground, but you don't have to insult somebody. That really sticks in my craw. And we're going to talk about that later, something that went down in a league of mine that I'm not a part of. I was just watching from a distance. So Garrett and I are going to touch on that later. But for right now, let's do our rookie mock. So here's the parameters of the mock. okay? It's going to be one round, and it is in a hypothetical league, 1 point PPR. It is not super flex. There are no IDPs, and it is not a tight end, running back, or wide receiver premium. So it's your pretty standard, you know, dynasty league. Garrett, we're going to let you go first. Who do you have with your 1-1?
All right. So for me, at the 1-1 at this point, and, you know, I'm not sure if and when this podcast will be released, but, you know, this is before the NFL draft, and so we don't know landing spot. So at this point, it's a pretty clear 1-1 for me, and that's going to be N'Keal Harry. Okay. I think he has all the tools that you're looking for in your number one receiver. He's long. He's athletic. I know there were some concerns about how fast he was. He answered those questions at the combine. I think for me, I'm glad I got the 1-1 because this was not hard for me. 1-2 probably would have been a lot harder if you would have taken N'Keal Harry. So I'm glad I got the 1-1, and I will leave happy with N'Keal Harry.
I would be too. I watched a little more film of him last night because he was a guy that was getting a lot of hype. So when I was writing articles, I was kind of staying away because I felt like he was being covered thoroughly.
Sure.
But his film, I saw him make some catches that I think he was watching tape of Odell Beckham because he's just in the corner of the end zone reaching back that nobody else can grab it. And I got to say, I love him, and I'd love to have him on the Eagles or my fantasy team. Yeah. He's just great. What I love too, seeing him, they threw up a lot of screens from the film I watched, and yep. He just knew what to do with the ball in his hands. He didn't look clunky like some college wide receivers do.
Right.
So I think that is a good pick. We're going to move on to the 1-2. So that would mean I am up. This is actually pretty easy for me. I did write an article about this guy. I'm going to go with AJ Brown out of Ole Miss. Some people might think it's a little too high, but after watching film of him, what I noticed was he's deceptively fast.
Yeah.
He knows when to turn it on. I watched him burst after catching a screen, slow down while his lineman set up a block, and then run right past everybody. So I think he's a guy that could come in day one, adjust to any NFL system, and be a productive player. He can earn the trust of a quarterback, and when he does that, that means the quarterback throws him the ball, he gets points. So that's what's important to me anyway. Do you have any thoughts on AJ Brown?
No, I have a tier, and we'll talk about it more later. I have a tier of four guys, and AJ Brown is one of those four guys. Okay. So if I get a pick in anywhere in the top four, I'm excited because I know I'm getting a guy that I really, really like. And then for me, after that point is where, you know, we see that second tier of guys. And so I like AJ Brown a lot. I've heard some interesting comps. Some people have talked about Anquan Boldin. I've also heard some people talk about Smith-Schuster. I find that pretty interesting. One of the things that was interesting to me is despite DK Metcalf being on his team and virtually running, you know, just one route, and I don't want to be a huge hater, but he actually had a pretty good, what's that?
He did just run that go route all the time.
Yep. Somebody did the statistics on it, and it was some like absurdly high number. Like, I don't remember what it was because I don't want to misspeak, but yeah, I felt like they said it was over like 50% of the time. He was literally just running straight down the field. for me, AJ Brown, one of the things that I really liked was the diverse route tree. As far as his slant routes go, he just runs that route so well, and I think he's going to cause some real damage at the NFL level. You'll have people tell you that, you know, he's only a slot receiver. That just means they didn't watch enough tape it depended on injuries and it depended on what year you're looking at. But he ran routes from all over the field depending on what game in the season and what season it was for him. And so he can play any receiver position. I think he's going to be a very, very good player at the next level. So I think AJ Brown's a great pick there.
Well, they say he's only a slot receiver. But if that was the case and he went to a place like Tampa Bay, would you not want him on your fantasy team?
Oh, I would absolutely want him there. Yeah, for sure. It would hurt my Chris Godwin stocks, but
well, yeah, that it would.
But yeah, no, I'd love him.
Okay. So let's move on to 1-3. Garrett, you're up. Who do you got?
For me, in my top tier, I only have one running back, and so I'm going to take him right now. I'm going to go with Josh Jacobs.
Okay.
I've done a lot of work with Josh Jacobs, and I feel like the running back position is very hotly contested. I feel like if you ask somebody who the top running back is, you're probably going to get anywhere from 3 to 5 different answers as who they think the top running back is. But I would say probably a decent bulk of people probably also have Josh Jacobs as their 1-1. There are so many things about his game that look elite to me. He's got raw power, raw strength. He's got really good size. His burst is just great. When he finds that hole, he hits it, and he hits it hard. I love a lot of the raw, just football making plays that he has. Even his ability to be able to stop and cut he made guys miss on a regular basis, and so there isn't just one way that he's going to beat you with. Some of these other running backs, they're power backs or they're speed backs, or he's able to do a little bit of everything. And the other thing that's overlooked is he's an incredible receiver. He catches well with his hands. He's able to run good routes downfield. I think he's the total package. I know some people hate on the fact that he wasn't exclusively the guy in Alabama that he shared time. And, you know, some would argue even that Harris was ahead of him for most of the season. But, you know, at the end of the year when it counted most, Jacobs kind of took the lead there. But to me, that's not a bad thing. That means he's fresh. That means he's got that type of Alvin Kamara thing coming in where, you know, he hasn't been run into the ground 800 times at the college level. So I'm really excited about Josh Jacobs, and I think he'd be a great, great pick anywhere in the top four.
I love Josh Jacobs. I don't have really much to add. You hit on everything that I had. I love the low mileage. He's decisive. I noticed when I watched film of him, he doesn't take a long time to make a decision. He hits the hole, he goes, and he knocks people over. I would not want to try to tackle him. I think it's a great pick. And another guy that I would love to have on my fantasy or, you know, on the Eagles would be great too, even after the Jordan Howard trade. So you kind of sniped my pick there, but that's okay. I got contingencies. So I'm going to go the 1-4. I'm going to go with Miles Sanders. I feel like he's really rising right now. People are starting to look over the fact that he's not Saquon Barkley, that he can be a complete running back. He needs to work on his ball handling. A lot of the fumbles that he had, though, were, I think, because of the read option, and Trace McSorley might have been fumbling it a little bit. That could be worked on at the next level. You could ask Tiki Barber all about it. But he can be a complete back in the NFL, and I think he could come in probably not right away. You might have to wait 8 games until you could play him. If he goes to a good spot like the Raiders, you know, or Tampa Bay, I'd love to see him there. Or I was going to say the Jets, but I forgot about Le'Veon Bell. Maybe Buffalo. So anywhere he goes, given the right opportunity, I think he could be a good player in the NFL.
I like Miles Sanders a lot, too. He is currently my RB3. Okay. For me, I think overall I have him a tad bit lower, but you're not alone. I mean, there are a lot of people that have him moving up their boards at a rapid pace, and I've seen plenty of people that have him as their RB1 now, where he has surpassed Josh Jacobs. And so I could easily see, especially when we get to draft day, and if he has a favorable landing spot, he could be the first running back off the board.
It's a very good possibility. I'm curious to see how the NFL draft shakes down, too, because, you know, you always hear that next year is going to be better, but next year is not a guarantee. Andrew Luck went back for his senior year, so how do we know that some of these guys aren't going to do the same thing and just say, oh, I'm going to wait another year, I want to get my degree first? So
yeah, you never know.
An NFL team might have to pounce now. So moving on to the 1-5. Garrett, you're up.
All right. So for me, this is my last guy in my tier 4. So for me, I'm going to be taking Hakeem Butler.
Okay.
He has the rare size and ability that you just can't teach. If you watch any of his film, it's incredible to see a guy of that size. I mean, we're talking about a 6'6" wide receiver, and he's running a 4.49. Like, he's not slow and lumbering. He's not Devin Funchess. Like, he is a legit wide receiver. He is able to get up. He's able to fight for the ball. Some of the plays that he makes where he is just, defenders are just flying off him. It's like a grown man playing in a middle school football game. Like, it's incredible at times the strength that he has. And so obviously he's not going to be able to grown man strength everybody at the NFL level.
Of course.
But I do expect him to outmatch many of the DBs that he goes against. If he gets a halfway competent quarterback, I think we're looking at a legitimate wide receiver one.
I completely agree with you. One thing that I do want to point out, I know everyone likes to talk about hand size. You know, I never really realized the difference. Like, oh, he only has 9-inch hands. So for comparison's sake, I measured my hands last night. And I guess you just go from the base of your hand to the top of your middle finger, right?
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. So my hands measured in at 7 inches and 7/8.
Okay.
So Hakeem Butler, and I was told that I have larger hands. So I don't know, whatever. Hakeem Butler's are 10 3/4 inches. So his hands are almost 3 inches bigger than mine.
Oven mitts.
Yeah, exactly. He's just, the one thing I have written down here, and I circled it, red zone threat.
For sure.
You put this guy in the red zone, and when the field's smaller and you got a good quarterback that could throw a fade pass in the back of the end zone that nobody else can get to, 9 out of 10 times, he's probably going to catch that ball. So he's a guy that I would love to draft high. I think, obviously, he's down here at fifth, but if A.J. Brown and Keel Harry's gone and I need a wideout, I'm definitely going Hakeem Butler, and I'm going to feel really good about it. Okay, so moving on to pick 1-6. I'm going to kind of stretch a little bit here, but I know it's early. I'm going to go with T.J. Hockenson. The more film I watch of him, I just love him. 6'5", 251, that is the NFL combine stat. 4.7 40, which for a tight end I think is pretty good. He did win the Mackey Award for the best tight end in college. I love the way he blocks. I love the way he runs routes. He just looks like he could be the next Zach Ertz out there. He could be the next Travis Kelce. The one thing I would love to say is he's a little thin. I'd love to see him bulk up just a little bit more at the NFL level. What do you think, Garrett?
No, I mean, the scouts are raving about his all-around ability. And I know that you don't get points in fantasy football for blocking, but that means he's going to be on the field more. And so I think that he's going to be one of those players that is going to be a real difference maker at the tight end position. And this is honestly one of the better tight end classes that we've seen in a long time. But if he ends up going to, I don't think he's going to last this long, but if he would go to New England to replace Gronk, I mean, watch out. But I could still easily see him going to a number of teams where he's going to be a very valuable piece. I've seen a lot of people mock him to the Packers lately. Now, Aaron Rodgers doesn't always like to use his tight ends like they should be used. But when you have an elite talent like that, he might make an exception.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's one of the things I was kind of hoping was going to happen this offseason. Demetrius Harris signed with the Browns, and I was really upset about that because I stashed him knowing that he was going to be a free agent, and I'm like, Green Bay, Jacksonville. I want him to go there, and instead he goes to be a backup somewhere, and I'm like, you know, I would have loved to see his size and athleticism in Green Bay, but sorry, I was just venting about that. That's neither here or there.
No, I mean, once again, as a Browns fan, I'm not upset. So,
no, that's more talent for your team. I mean,
absolutely. Although it is weird that he would want to go sit behind Njoku, which obviously they have, you know, draft capital in him and stuff. So it is a little surprising.
Maybe some more two tight end sets. I don't know.
I don't know. With all the receivers we got now, I don't want to turn this into the Cleveland Browns Daily, you know, podcast. So I won't go into it. But you give my boy Baker some weapons, it's game over.
Yeah, he might wake up feeling dangerous every single day of the week. And look out, NFL. So we can move on now to the 1-7. And Garrett, you're up. I think I kind of know who you're going with here, but tell me who you got.
All right, we'll see. We'll see how predictable I am. I think I'm going to probably head back to the running back position, and I'm going to go with David Montgomery.
That was correct.
Was that who you were thinking?
That was my next guy too.
Yep. Yep. He is, he's my number two running back. The knock on Montgomery is the long speed. Now he made up for that, in his pro day versus his combine numbers. He ran in the low 4.5s, in his pro day. And so I think that helped stabilize his stock slightly. Not a guy that you would consider an elite athlete. A lot of the three cone drills and things like that weren't what you would hope for out of your, you know, first round pick. However, all you need to do is turn on the tape of this kid. It wasn't an incredible offensive line that he was playing with. Really wasn't a great offense, which is crazy having two Iowa State prospects that we're going to be taking in the first round in a so-so offense, which is crazy to think about. But he does everything well. There's nothing that you look at and say, oh, this is a major hole in his game. He's a good blocker. He hits the hole hard. He makes guys miss. He's not overly elusive, but he's able to never take that head-on collision. He's able to slide off, make a guy miss here or there. His feet and his balance are arguably his best asset. I mean, there was a clip in these running back threads that I've been doing. I get to, you know, watch, you know, I watch full games, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games of this guy. And one of the plays that stood out wasn't a long gain, but it was against Texas, and the defensive lineman cut through right away, and it should have been a 3-yard loss. And somehow he was able to almost jump backwards where his torso was still in the same spot, but his legs were completely behind him, and he was able to somehow still maintain his balance. I know it's hard to understand through this medium how incredible it was, but it was amazing to see. And so some of those traits are just things that you cannot teach a running back. And so I really like his potential. Is he going to be a guy that's going to be hitting home runs for your team? No, he's not going to be breaking off a ton of long runs, but he's going to make a bunch of big chunk plays. He's going to have good hands. You're going to be happy to have him on your roster.
But saying that goes back to what we said about Hockenson. If he's on the field and moving the ball, he's on the field, which means he has the opportunity to get more points. Same thing as you. He's just solid, 5'10", 222. He's not a burner. He ran a 4.63. But like you said, not a great offensive team. And almost 3,000 total yards at Iowa State. That's combined between rushing and receiving. So he's a productive player, and he's an above average receiver too from the tape that I've watched of him. So
yeah,
which is obviously huge in the NFL today. Everybody wants a back that can catch the football, which is why Jordan Howard is no longer a Chicago Bear. So I just think that he's a guy that I would gladly have, obviously after Jacobs and Sanders. Okay, so we are going to the 1-8, and I have to turn my page, and I have this might be a stretch here, but I have Kelvin Harmon from NC State.
Mm.
So I know I could tell by what you said, it is kind of a stretch, but here's the thing. He's not a burner, 4.6 40. I love the way he adjusts for the ball. And that being said, Finley needs to work on his arm strength a little bit because he does not have a great arm. He's just solid. He catches the ball. He doesn't do anything flashy. But again, it goes back to what we were saying. He catches the ball. He moves the chains. He doesn't impress me aside from the fact that he does everything the offensive coordinator asks him to do. He runs a good route. He catches the ball. You can't complain about that. There were a lot of times I saw him behind coverage. So that was a little bit more against some of the competition that he played against, which obviously won't happen at the next level. But he could be a good, productive slot guy in the NFL, I think, or, you know, worked into the outside over time.
So I made that noise not because I don't like the pick. I was just surprised because I've seen so many people move him down their boards. I still have him higher like you do. So okay. I think we're actually somewhat in lockstep here with him. All of the things you said are correct. He's a great player. The film I watched, he's able to high point the ball well. He's got strong hands. Yes, not an elite athlete. And I think that's what scared a lot of people off is the combine numbers are underwhelming. I mean, they're not good. However, the combine is there for us to go back and look at the tape, not vice versa. And so going back and looking at the tape afterward, I still liked what I saw. I did move him down slightly based on the pro day, but overall, he's still a first-round pick, and so I have no problem with you taking him there.
Okay. You talked about the combine. I have his stats right here. He came in at 6'2", 221. He ran a 4.640. He did 18 reps on the bench, a 7.15 cone, and a 4.32 20-yard shuttle. So not terrible. He didn't kill himself like Elijah Holyfield or Benny Snell did.
Yeah.
But he's just solid. He's a guy that's going to be reliable. That's all I could say.
No, I like him a lot, especially if he goes to a situation where he doesn't have to be the number one receiver from day one. If he can come in and learn from an established receiver, I think he's going to be very good.
I would love to see him as a Green Bay Packer. I think that would be a great spot for him. Like because they've got Davante Adams. They have all those other rookies that have a year under their belt. They have Geronimo Allison. So he could come in and not have to worry about, hey, I'm the guy. I need to make it happen right now.
No, I could see that. Staying in the same division, somebody was talking today that they wouldn't mind seeing him in Minnesota. And that was another one that I saw that, you know, I would like him getting to play next to Diggs and Thielen. There'd be hardly any pressure on him, but he would get to learn from two of the better receivers in the game. And so, yeah, I think either of those situations would be ideal, and I'm sure there's others as well.
Okay. We're going to move on to the 1-9 now. That would be you, Garrett. Who you got here?
This is my pick. So it's interesting. The guy I'm going to take here has been a guy that I have been high on from early on, and I keep looking for reasons to move him up. And he helped me out recently by improving his 40 time at his pro day. And so I'm going to take JJ Arcega-Whiteside here.
Okay.
I think this would be a popular spot for most people to be taking DK Metcalf. Honestly, he's probably going earlier than either one of us have taken him so far. But I think this would be a popular spot for him. But the thing for me is, Arcega-Whiteside upped his 40 time to a 4.49 at his recent pro day. That was really the only concern that people have with his game was, is he fast enough to be a number one receiver? Because everything else, I mean, when you talk about a red zone threat, I wish I had the numbers in front of me, but he was just a red zone monster at Stanford. And I kind of liken him a little bit to a Mike Evans, where, yes, he's still not going to be a burner, but he is going to be a big physical body that I think is going to be bringing in touchdowns like crazy at the NFL level.
So I have a lot of the same things that you do. I love that he did increase himself at the pro day. One thing that I noticed about him is he really fights for the ball.
Yeah,
there was a lot of times I saw defenders going up and trying to take it, and he would just rip it right out of their hands. I love that, and I also love that, you know, production can be spotty at the collegiate level when you have quarterbacks that possibly change or offensive coordinators go here or there. But his production increased every year, and I like that because it shows that he's willing to make himself – you know, he learns, he gets better as he grows. So those are just two of the things that I liked a lot about him. I actually had him down lower than you. I had him, I went to 14, and that's where I had him at. So
okay. Yeah, I think I'm probably a little higher than the consensus ranks would have him, but he has really impressed me, and that was the big piece that was missing was that down the field speed. Is there enough there to at least have the potential to be a number one guy? And I think that question got answered with his pro day. And so it was the little bump I needed, to get him up there.
Okay. So we're going to go to pick 10, and that would be me. This is pure, I mean, this is high risk, high reward possibly. But I just love the potential here, and I'm going to take Rodney Anderson. Obviously you can't watch any 2018 tape on him or much of it. But I just love the way he runs. My only downside to him, aside from the injury history, it doesn't seem like he has a second gear. When he hits his initial burst, that's just it. When he gets into the second level, I don't see a second burst. I don't see a high gear from him. It's just, if he gets caught up to, he's going to get tackled from behind. So, aside, like I said, aside from the injuries, that's my one concern about him. But I love the size. He's 6'1", 220. If he could stay healthy, he's a guy that could really finish a game off for any team in the NFL. Just wear defense down at the end of the game. What do you think, Garrett? Too high here at 110?
You know what? There are a couple running backs that are very high risk, very high reward. And Rodney Anderson would be one of those guys. I did a mock earlier in the season where somebody took him as the number one overall player, which that, really? That shocked me. But his argument was, if you're a guy that's willing to take DK Metcalf at number one, you know, why wouldn't you take Rodney Anderson at number one? And
you know, that's not bad logic though. It's really not.
It's not, because there is a good argument to be made that as far as a pure running back goes, that he might be the best pure running back in the class. I would still probably have him two behind Jacobs, but I think it's a real case that could be made. And so it's really the injuries that have brought him down so far. So I don't know. Whoops, sorry about my mic here. Very unprofessional. I don't know that I could personally justify the risk for me taking him in the first round, because I am just terrified that he's going to be one of those backs that you see the flash and you're excited about it, and then next game he's out with this, and 3 weeks later he's out with that, and then all of a sudden he ends a season, and you know, all of a sudden, well, that there goes his career. Like, you know, he just seems like one of those players to me. Now, this is not I am not a doctor in any way, so I have no medical evidence to say that I won't touch him. He just makes me really nervous. But if you're a person that you're going purely on upside and saying, hey, I have a later first round pick, I just want to try to get the best potential I can, then I have no issue with taking Rodney Anderson there. For me, though, I would feel more comfortable taking mid to late second.
Okay. All right. So we're going to go the 111. We got two picks left. Each of us have one. Garrett, what are you thinking at 111 here?
So I have the pick that I probably should take, but I want an excuse to talk about this guy. So I'm going to go with the heart over the head. My head says Deebo Samuel should be the pick. He's a fantastic player, but I'm going to go with my boy. And this is a guy that, I've been promoting a ton on Twitter. And so if you follow me, you're probably not going to be crazy surprised. But for me, it's Alexander Mattison. I love this kid, and I'm willing to pound the table for this kid, because I think that given the right situation, I think he could be an extremely, extremely productive running back at the NFL level. He's one of those guys that if you watch him, he just runs angry. I mean, he just runs in a fashion where I'm going to do anything I can to get from point A to point B. If that means I need to run through you, if that means I need to one cut and go, if that means I need to hurdle you, I don't care, but I'm getting from A to B. He has good hands. He has good size. And he's another guy that, you know, consensus is lower on him because he didn't have a fantastic, I shouldn't say that. His combine overall was very good. The problem was his 40 time was not that great at 4.67. And so guys are like, he's a bigger back, so we'll let it go a little bit, but we don't know that he can necessarily be, you know, the guy for a team. Well, he just improved it to a 4.52 at his pro day. And so I think that is, once again, similar to our Sega Whiteside, he improved his stock with his pro day by quite a bit. And so for me, even though it's probably in a real draft, I don't know that I can muster up the courage to do it. I really want to take him at the end of the first round. Probably in real life, I'm taking him in the second round, but I want an excuse to get it off my chest.
So for those of us who don't know who Alexander Mattison is, this is the running back from Boise State, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I do remember hearing you talk about him. I'm going to be perfectly honest. You've really caught me off guard with this one.
I'm sure.
I haven't really watched any film on him. So I'm going to now, though, because my curiosity has been piqued here. I feel like he's a guy, just based on what I'm hearing from you, that I could steal from other people who might not be listening to podcasts or paying a lot of attention this time of year. He could probably be a guy that you take in the mid to late second round, and people are just going to say the exact same thing that I did. Who?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Then you could say, well, we'll see, and maybe he sits on your taxi squad for a year. But that's okay. If you could steal a guy like this, and you can trust Garrett, everybody, then I would definitely do it. But I wish I had more to add here.
No, you're good.
I was caught off guard with that one.
I figured if, you know, this one was coming out of left field for some people. He like I said, he's a bigger back. I should have been more prepared with the exact numbers, but he's around 220 pounds. His running style is actually, it's funny because they went to the same school, but his running style is similar to Jay Ajayi. The only real difference is he doesn't have all the knee problems that Jay Ajayi has. He's a guy that I really, really like. If you haven't watched his tape yet, do yourself a favor, go watch it. Some of his runs are just, they're just exciting. And he has others that are, you know, more of grinding, plodding runs. But every once in a while, he'll surprise you and he'll break out a long one, or he'll use some hurdles and some jukes, and it's fun to watch.
So I'm trying to get up his stats for you here. And all I'm coming up with is a realty company in New York. So I'm sorry, everybody. I can't get the stats up here. Here we go. Alexander Mattison.
It's Mattison.
Well, that would be why I didn't have the right one in here.
No, you're good. Here, I got it in front of me right now. 1,415 yards. Okay. So over 1,400 yards. And this is just his 2018 season with 17 touchdowns. So he definitely had a nose for the goal line and much better hands than you would expect as well. So that's Alexander Mattison.
I think, unfortunately, playing at a place like Boise State kind of does an injustice to a lot of players. I mean, you know, who really pays a whole lot of attention to Boise State? It's a sad thing, but who pays a lot of attention to places like Iowa State sometimes or Memphis? Which kind of leads me to the last pick here. This is a guy that to me is a lot like Rodney Anderson, pure upside. This could be boom or bust, but I love me some Daryl Henderson. If he's put in the right spot, yeah, he could be a guy that if he's drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs, look out world, because he is a burner. I think he averaged 8.9 yards per carry.
Yep, that's accurate.
Now, that being said, he played at Memphis. You know, there's not going to be great defenses you're going up against. But he's a guy that he's not going to be a three-down back. But if he's schemed correctly, he could be extremely productive in the NFL.
No, I totally agree. I remember talking about him with Rich and Matt a little bit, and they're not as high on him. And I like Henderson. I think he's going to be a productive player, and I don't think he should get out of the first round. So I'm glad that you took him. He reminds me somewhat of a Chris Johnson type, where he is an absolute home run hitter. There are times where you see that, you know, he might not be as elusive as you would think he would be, but man, the ability to just find the hole and just take off, and you're just not going to catch him. That's just plain and simple. He ran a 4.37 40, and there's just nothing you can do. So I think that's a great pick.
Yeah, that is insane. 4.37 40. I couldn't imagine being that fast. So that's our one round rookie mock. We could go over it again. We'll break it down between 1 to 12. We have N'Keal Harry, AJ Brown, Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, Hakeem Butler, TJ Hockenson, David Montgomery, the solid Kelvin Harmon, JJ Arcega-Whiteside, Rodney Anderson, and coming out of left field at number 11 is Alexander Mattison. And then at 12 is Daryl Henderson. Yeah, I'd like to put a little note on here, kind of like a 113. He's a guy that I don't think people are talking about. Do you know who Tony Pollard is?
You know what? He was also at Memphis, right?
He was. There's no one's talking about this guy. He was extremely productive. Okay, he's listed as a wide receiver running back. He's 6 foot, 210. He only ran a 4.52, which is terrible, I guess. He did do 13 reps on the bench, nothing great. He's just, his stats aren't crazy overwhelming, but he's got good averages on the ground and through the air, and he can return kicks. In 2017, he had 22 kick returns for 881 yards and 4 touchdowns. He averaged 40 yards a kick return.
Wow.
So he finished just between rushing and receiving in 3 years, 2,233 total scrimmage yards and 18 touchdowns on the ground and through the air. So he's a guy that I think could be a really good late round flyer in your draft. I mean, because nobody's talking about him, maybe closer to the draft, people are going to start to pick up on him a little bit. But look at Tony Pollard, watch him play. He can move. He could run. He can catch. He's kind of just a jack of all trades. He's really not a master of none, or a master of any. But try him out in the fourth or fifth round. At that point, you're drafting for depth and you're taking a crapshoot anyway. So why not?
Sure, it's all about upside at that point.
Exactly. So is there anything else you'd like to add, Garrett? I know I had something I wanted to talk to you about, but I didn't know if you had anything on your mind.
No, nothing specific. I enjoy doing these mocks. So it was fun to get to do it with you here, because everybody has a little different feel. They have guys that are their guys and guys that they don't like. I think, he didn't go in the first round of our draft, but I would be surprised if DK Metcalf got out of the first round of most rookie drafts. Same with Debo Samuel. I don't think that he's going to get out of the first round of many drafts, possibly also Paris Campbell. So I think we had a little bit of a heavier running back first round than I think you'll see with most. But I think this is a good way for people to see that, it's not one size fits all. I mean, you have 20 or so different guys that could be going in your first round, and so you never really know. So it's good to have some contingency plans, know some other players that you like a little bit later in case you get sniped.
Exactly. And hopefully people don't go too hard on me. This was my first ever mock draft. So
no, you did great. You did great.
I tried my best.
So, honestly, people would probably say you did better than me. They're like, freaking Alexander Mattison. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm glad you took him, because I want to check him out now. If you say that he's that good, then I have no reason to doubt you whatsoever. So after this, I'm going to watch some tape.
Yeah, check him out. See what you think.
But Garrett and I are going to kind of settle a dispute. This is what I touched on earlier. In a league that I'm in, we had two guys arguing about, and this is kind of ridiculous because it could be apples to oranges, Davante Adams or Brandon Cooks. Now, the guy who was really mad, he wanted Brandon Cooks over Davante Adams, and I understand his logic. He's just as productive. And you could get him cheaper because the hype for Davante Adams is better. I think you could agree with that, right, Garrett?
Oh, the hype is definitely higher for Adams, for sure.
Right, so I understand why you would want Cooks better, or want Cooks more. You could get him cheaper. Looking at the stats here, okay, Brandon Cooks has not missed a game since 2014. He has 5,147 yards receiving, 32 touchdowns. He also has 229 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. That's in 74 games. Davante Adams has played the same amount of games, 74. He has 4,197 yards receiving, 39 touchdowns. So he's got more touchdowns. The downside to him, nothing in the running game. He does miss some time. He missed 3 games in 15. He missed three games in 15, two games in 17, and then one game last year. So he does miss a little bit of time, but not anything crazy. So me personally, people might crucify me for this. I'm going to take Brandon Cooks, and that's just because he's been in three different offenses. He's been productive everywhere he goes. He doesn't miss time, except for when he was decapitated in Super Bowl 52. but he can run. He's great. And he is surrounded by weapons in LA, and he is still productive. So I'm team Brandon Cooks. I did trade for him last season. I was very happy about it. Garrett, what do you think?
So let me just clarify something, just so we know exactly what the disagreement is. Now, is this guy saying for the price, I would rather have Brandon Cooks than Davante Adams, or straight up in a trade, I would take the Brandon Cooks side over the Davante Adams side?
He is saying for the price that it would take to get Davante Adams, he would rather have Brandon Cooks because he could be had cheaper.
I think that makes a lot more sense. Because to me, if it's straight up, I personally don't think it's that close. I think it's clearly Davante Adams. For the price, though, it makes a lot of sense. The draft capital that you'll need to get Brandon Cooks, and I don't have their ADP in front of me, but off the top of my head, you're probably not taking Brandon Cooks in a dynasty draft until fifth round, sixth round. So I have no issue with that if you're wanting to go running back heavy earlier on, because Davante Adams is probably going to cost you a late first or an early second to get him. Now, the thing that you have to love about Davante Adams, and the reason that I would probably still take him over Brandon Cooks personally, is one you mentioned already, the Rams offense. There's a lot of mouths to feed, and during the regular season, almost everything went right. Everything went the way that you would hope for Brandon Cooks. They ended up having an incredible offense. He was still fed quite a few targets. Eventually, Cooper Kupp went down, so he was able to have more opportunity there. Then Todd Gurley got hurt at the end of the year, so they were forced to throw the ball even more. So I think everything went about as good as it could have for Cooks. Now, you could potentially see his touchdown numbers go up a tad, but overall in his career, he's not a high touchdown guy. It's more about the yardage for him. Whereas Davante Adams, he's not competing for touches with anyone. It's the Davante Adams show. He's big. He's physical. He's clearly the apple of Aaron Rodgers' eye. And his 15 games played, he didn't play the last game of the season. And I think that had more to do with them just being out of it and nobody caring anymore on the Packers. And you saw that Bleacher Report article that came out a couple days ago, which kind of outlined all the stuff that went on with McCarthy and with Rodgers.
Yeah, but I did see that.
Yeah, that's a whole nother – we don't have time for that. That's a whole nother podcast almost. But in those 15 games, he scored 15 or more PPR points in every single game. You just can't get better than that. To say every week, lock it in, he's getting at least 15 fantasy points, if not more, because he has weeks where he's scoring one and two touchdowns a game on top of already the great production and receiving yardage. And so for that consistency, and he's not old either. He's a young receiver. I think they were actually both taken in the same class. And by the way, that class was incredible with OBJ and Mike Evans and all those guys in that class as well. But for me, I would be willing to invest a first round, a late first round, early second round on Davante Adams, because I think he is the real deal and will continue to be the real deal for the remainder of Rodgers' career.
So two things to add to that. I do have I printed out ADP for something else that I do want to talk to you about. This is from Fantasy Football Calculator.
Okay.
Davante Adams in a dynasty startup is the number 9 overall pick.
Okay.
And Brandon Cooks is pick 21. So he's actually 3-1.
Wow. That's higher than I expected.
Yeah. So Davante Adams is really up there. The second thing I want to add to that is Brandon Cooks has gone over 1,000 yards every year, except for his first year in the league when he only played in 10 games. Devontae Adams has only gone over 1,000 yards one time, and that was last year. He did come close in 2016 when he had 997 yards. So, you know, we could just say he had two 1,000-yard seasons because he was right there. But Brandon Cooks, as far as breaking 1,000 yards, and, you know, yardage counts as points too, absolutely, he's right there every year. So I think we could safely say that Brandon Cooks is a good buy low candidate if you because you could get him cheaper. But at the end of the day, this could end up being a push. But there is a third candidate here that neither of these guys were talking about, Garrett. Jarvis Landry, who has never missed a game in his career, ever. He has 5,014 yards receiving, 26 touchdowns in 80 games. He's played them all. And he can run the ball, too. 29 carries, 179 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So, gentlemen, in my WCF league, the better one is Jarvis Landry. I didn't put Odell in there because clearly he is an elite receiver. Mike Evans, you know, he's an elite receiver. And that kind of wasn't. I was trying to think of a guy that's in the Brandon Cooks realm. And I thought Jarvis Landry is a great candidate for that.
You know what? It's going to be really interesting to see what happens with Jarvis Landry because although those numbers are fantastic, getting a chance to, you know, watch every single Browns game, I don't think he's going to get the massive amount of targets that he got while he was in Miami. And I think that is what made him such a fantasy monster is you knew he was just going to get force fed the ball because there were no other options. And he was a good player. The problem that he's going to run into right now is it was already his target share was down quite a bit last year already. Now they added Odell Beckham Jr. to the mix. Mm-hmm. And so I can't imagine his target share is going to go up. Now, I say all that, and I'm not saying I wouldn't buy Jarvis Landry. I just think, you know, if we're saying once again, okay, straight up head-to-head, would I rather have Cooks or would I rather have Jarvis Landry? I would rather have Cooks. But if you're able to get him, and you if you still have the ADP in front of you, what's his ADP? Because I have to imagine it's much lower.
Let's see here. Give me a second to find this. He is actually pick 38. So he is
not much later.
17 picks after Brandon Cooks.
That's so interesting.
He would be 405. They actually have him one spot below Corey Davis.
Huh. Which, interesting.
I think personally I would rather have Jarvis Landry because the quarterback situation is a lot better. Actually, there's a bunch of receivers they have above him. Just on this page here, Amari Cooper, A.J. Green, Kenny Galladay, Robert Woods, T.Y. Hilton, and Corey Davis are above him, as well as Brandon Cooks.
That's interesting. Well, you know what? We agreed a lot in the mock draft, so I guess we can't agree for the entire podcast.
That's okay. But, okay, so one last thing I want you to help me settle. Someone that I'm in a league with wants to get a 2020 first round draft pick back. He has Dalvin Cook. So I said to him, I'll give you a 2020 first for Dalvin Cook straight up. We'll just say it's a mid first round pick. I don't know where it's going to be yet.
Sure. It's hard to project.
Exactly. He said he laughed at me, which I did not appreciate. It's what we were talking about before the podcast with trades, or no, we did talk about that during, forgive me,
a little bit. Yeah,
he said Dalvin Cook is a stud, to which I replied, in order to be a stud in the NFL and for fantasy, you have to play first of all and be productive. So that being said, Dalvin Cook's ADP right now is 302. He is the 25th player off the board, one pick ahead of Le'Veon Bell and two ahead of Kerryon Johnson. Did I lowball him, or was that fair?
So I think personally, I have no issue with that being the offer. That being said, I also don't know that I would accept that. I think I'd want more for that. But in okay. most trades, you don't start off with your best offer. You start off at a bargaining point, and then you work your way into the middle somewhere. So he's probably at the end of, okay, I want two first and, you know, a little something else. And you're like, no, I'm only going to give you, you know, one 2020 first. And then you work your way in the middle and say, okay, I'll give you my 2020 first and the 201 in the 2019 draft. Okay, deal. You know, and I'm not saying that's the exact value of them. You know, this is just off the top of my head, but
it's hypothetical.
Right. So I have no issue with you making that offer. I think, you know, a savvy owner is never going to give the perfect offer right away. So I don't think that was a low ball offer. I wouldn't take that offer, but I don't think it was a low ball offer.
And that being said, too, I feel like the term stud is overused in the fantasy world. I mean, Dalvin Cook is a stud. Dalvin Cook, for his career, has been an injury-prone player. And that's another term that I don't like too much, but so far it's been true.
He hasn't even played in half his games, has he?
Exactly. So for me to give up a first-round pick, which, hey, I could really have a bad season. I could get decimated by injuries. That could be a high pick. I could be sacrificing a very talented player for a guy who could play four games next year.
Right.
So that's that. Okay. So just like the Brandon Cooks debate and now the Dalvin Cook debate, everything appears to be a push on this podcast today, which is fine. So we're going to kind of finish off here. You know, I'm very appreciative. I feel like, Garrett, you're a very appreciative guy. I want to take a minute and just say thank you to all the people that have helped us. Who's helped you get to where you are in the fantasy community today?
Yeah, obviously, Rich and Matt from Dynasty Nerds have just been great. They've really helped me come along, allowed me to be a part of what they're doing. Didn't make me look stupid when I might have made silly comments or, you know, whatever. So they've been great guys. Another guy that was really cool, and he was really one of the first ones to reach out to me, was a guy named Dennis Bennett. He's part of the Dynasty Nerds team. He's on Twitter as Culture Coach, and I've seen this pattern from him.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he really is, and he was the first one that you know, when I was a no name that barely had any followers, and you know, he invited me to do stuff and be a part of stuff with him, and That was just really cool to see somebody that's in the industry. He's already doing well, but he took the time out to help someone else get acclimated as well. And so he's definitely a guy, another guy by the name of Jared Wackerly, which funny story. I won't go too far into it, but we ended up finding out that we actually live in the exact same city, and he lives about 4 minutes away from me. Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of a small world. But he does some stuff over at FF Statistics. And so every once in a while we'll get together and have a beer or something like that. But he's a super good dude. And I got to meet a lot of the guys from FF Statistics through him. And so it helped me network a little bit and get in different circles. So that was pretty cool as well. So, those are definitely just a few of the guys. I mean, there's a lot of others that I could easily, point to, but I don't think we want to be here for 2 hours. So,
well, I kind of have the same problem. So if I forget anybody, you can at me on Twitter. That's fine. And say, hey, what about me? I'm fine with that. I said it before, Rich at Dynasty Nerds, thank you for giving me a second chance to write an article. I did it. I've been there ever since. Leonard at ASL, he likes my work, which sometimes I feel like it's not up to par, but he always says great job. The crew at Married to the Game, the FF Dynasty, Casey, Jay Wayne, and Big Co. Love those guys. They're great. All the guys at the Back Row Show, Niddle Arms, especially Jeremy Barker, he has been so detrimental to helping me with podcasting, and I could have figured this all out. It would have We'd probably be doing this for the 2020 draft instead of the 2019. His advice has been on point. He's a great guy. If you haven't checked out the Back Row Show, get there. They're funny. They're great guys. All my fellow writers, thank you for retweeting and sharing. John Dement, thank you for putting out great content all the time. I have to keep up with you so much that I have to do it on a different site because I can't keep up with them. But just thank you to everybody. Anybody that actually thinks that my opinion is worth a damn, thank you. So anything else that you want to say, Garrett?
You know what? I don't have anything specific. Maybe once I get better at this, we'll have some sort of like cool sign off, or maybe I'll have like a like a scripture verse or something. I don't know. But so far I am, I'm still new enough to this that, adios is probably the best I can do.
I think we'll need some music. Maybe I could find something. Maybe I did show you a logo earlier that'll work for now.
Yeah, so. I like that.
But yeah, we could just say goodbye for now. Till next time. This has been the Rust Belt Dynasty's first podcast. As a matter of fact, it's so first, it's podcast number zero. I have it listed as. But if people want to go ahead and follow Garrett on Twitter, Garrett, what should they follow you at?
Not to get into a rabbit trail, but my current handle is at Dynasty Price.
Well, don't worry. If you change it, it's like when you change your address, you'll be forwarded to the new Twitter handle. So don't worry, everybody. If you want to follow me, it is at TheMBauer85. Feel free to at me. You can say whatever you want. I may or may not respond. I don't know. I'm still kind of new to Twitter, so bear with me. So, Garrett, let's do this again sometime. How's that sound?
Absolutely. I'd love to.
All right, great. Everybody have a good night. Thanks for listening.